Well, we're up here at the top of the hour, Constance, and thanks for having me on here.
Joe, thank you for being my guest. Thank you for joining me on My Perspective, and we will see you all Friday afternoon, 2 Pacific time, 5 Eastern time, and join us again on My Perspective. This is Constance Cumby signing off.
Broadcasters covering 194,000 square miles and bringing the people's voice to little towns all across America.
Expose the corruption that exists within the Israeli government for many years, including the assassination of Yitzhak Rabin by the Shabbat, by the Israeli Secret Service, and of course, actually, he's done a pretty good job. He's convinced about half of the religious Jews in Israel that what happened to Rabin. But unfortunately, when you take a stand and you try to bring the truth out, down the line, of course, there are serious consequences. So you pick up the story there from Barry. We're going to be talking today about what's going on this last week, and then you're going to take us into the story of the Yom Kippur War. Go ahead.
Well, this week I didn't get a lot of news from Israel. On Friday was the Sabbath, and then came the Passover holiday. And tonight, though, the emails will be flowing, but they weren't for 5 days. But something happened in the United States that was, revolting in my opinion, but I was at a Passover Seder, that's a dinner, and the rabbi was just so delighted that the Pope saw fit to visit a Jewish synagogue. Now, this Pope was a member of Hitler Youth and then volunteered for the Wehrmacht in the last days of the war. Who knows if he shot Americans? And by the way, I'm not saying that lightly, that he was in the Wehrmacht voluntarily. And to me, you don't invite a creep like that anywhere near a synagogue. But that's what this rabbi did in New York. Then you find out a little about the rabbi. The rabbi's name is Arthur Schneer. And lo and behold, we discover that he is on the Council on Foreign Relations, Religion and Foreign Policy Committee, sharing a chair with Madeleine Albright, who, by the way, is Jewish, but has conveniently forgot it. And even worse, he's on the United Nations Alliance of Civilization Initiative, started by Edgar Bronfman of the Council on Foreign Relations, whose children are Catholics. What we're talking about is another zealot of the Jews, and you're talking, my rabbi is a Holocaust survivor, and he thinks it's wonderful. And what are you going to do? It was a holiday. It didn't intervene, but it was just an abomination what took place. Just for this week, we'll do the Yom Kippur War. I was inspired by the History Channel this week. They had a documentary on the Bilderbergs. And by the way, a very fair one. Now, let me tell you, you would have come out thinking that these are real SOBs manipulating the world after watching this biography, documentary. But David Icke was on the show, a very, very, controversial is putting it mildly. I've actually been in personal contact with him because of his opinions on Israel and Jews, and they're all screwed up. And it's getting him in trouble, by the way. But nonetheless, what he said was that in May of 1973, at the Bilderberg meeting, the Bilderbergers decided that the price of oil must go up, and they were going to arrange it.
And
then he says they arranged it with the October War, or the Yom Kippur War of October 4th, and it was all to make oil drop, he claims.
Since the year 2000, earthquakes, heat waves, droughts, tsunamis, floods, fires, and hurricanes have killed over 1 million people worldwide and forced tens of millions to go without food and water. After Katrina, the media was eager to show victims in New Orleans begging for food. If a disaster strikes you and your loved ones and you have no stored food, you'll be begging as well. Now our economy is slipping into an abyss that even Donald Trump says will make the Great Depression look like a Sunday picnic. The U.S. dollar is worth less today than it was even last week. Before food prices skyrocket, trucks stop running and stores close their doors, Survival Enterprises can help you prepare. They're master distributors of Mountain House freeze-dried food with up to a 50-year shelf life. Survival Enterprises has real butter, cheese, and bread, real beef, chicken, and turkey, all canned for long-term storage. For their website and more info, call 1-800-753-1981. That's 1-800-753-1981. And remember, if you wait until you need us, it's too late. Call now.
This is George Whitehurst Berry of the Genesis Communications Network. Have you ever wanted the truth about the economy? Crash, Are You Ready? Is the fastest growing program on GCN. Our one-hour program airs weekdays, Monday through Friday, from 10 to 11 a.m. Central Time, just after the Power Hour, and just before Alex Jones. To listen to rebroadcast 24 and 7, visit our website at www.hearitonline.com and click on the appropriate link. Our unparalleled guest lineup has included patriots such as Congressman Ron Paul, Scott Ritter, former UN Chief Weapons Inspector Murray Neal, inventor of the revolutionary dragonskin body armor, and Philip Torme, USS Liberty survivor. We also focus on alternative health and survival topics. Go to www.hearitonline.com. That's HEARITONLINE.com.
The war on terrorism, will it be fought overseas or will it affect us here at home? If you are like most folks, you want to be prepared but can't afford an underground shelter. So what do you do? Did you know that you can use your home as a shelter against fallout and biological or chemical attacks? With a little know-how, it's not that difficult. Sheltering in place, surviving acts of terrorism from biological, chemical, and radioactive fallout. Developed by Wayne LeBaron, a health physicist who has served as a specialist in environmental health, communicable diseases, and has worked as a nuclear specialist for the U.S. government, gives you easy-to-follow video instructions and walks you step-by-step through the process of preparing your home as a shelter. Get this critical video every American needs for only $29 plus shipping. Order by calling New Millennium today at 888-803-4438. That's 888-803-4438. Or order on the web at BerkeyWater.com.
Our guest today is Barry Savage. We're talking about, well, we're going to be talking about the Yom Kippur War, a part of the history that I've never heard. And, of course, Barry was just saying that there was a recent docudrama, a documentary on the History Channel, where they interviewed David Icke, and David Icke had said that in 1973, the Bilderbergers decided that the price of oil was going to have to rise. And, of course, I can remember at that time when we had heard that both Nixon and Kissinger had gone to the Arab countries and said, you go ahead and raise the price of oil. Of course, they couldn't tell the American people that. We were standing in lines. We were just, you know, what price of oil went up. There was a shortage of oil. There was a crisis here. You only could buy, you know, gasoline every other day. And it was all contrived just exactly. exactly as the present oil crisis is contrived. And we hear, oh, my goodness, things are just terrible. You know, the price of oil is going up. It hit $118 today, maybe even up to $120. Whether it closed at above $118, I don't know, but apparently it was up very strongly today. And then, of course, the euro currency is going up. Well, it's not that the euro currency is going up. It's the value of the dollar is going down. But you see, it's how your perspective is. Is the glass half filled or is the glass half empty? Well, of course, they want to make us believe that the reason, of course, that the price of oil is going up is because the euro is going up. But the euro is not going up. The dollar is being destroyed intentionally and purposely by the invisible government, which, of course, the Bilderbergers is part of. So go ahead, pick up the story. Let's go back to the time of the Yom Kippur War and how they intentionally and purposely began raising the price of oil at that time.
Yeah, we'll get there, all right. But first, we have to start with what happened in Israel. And my sources for this story are really, really high level, and we'll get to that as well. Israel was supposedly taken off guard because there was a massive intelligence failure. The Arabs attacked Israel, and the Israeli army was not mobilized. Now, this is a lie. The intelligence community had seen a million Egyptian troops. The whole army was on the Suez Canal, and the whole Syrian army was in the Golan, and they were warning the government that there was going to be a war. The government told the Israeli people it was just an exercise and not to worry. Yitzhak Rabin wrote an article 2 weeks before the war that the Arabs would not attack Israel for another generation. On purpose he wrote this, believing he can't write in English. It was written for him. Well, it was a lie. What happened is the defense minister of Israel, who after Shimon Peres, I'd say, is the second biggest traitor to the Jewish people in modern times, that's Moshe Dayan. Moshe Dayan cut a deal with Henry Kissinger that the Israeli army would give the Arabs 24 hours without any opposition. And Kissinger, by the way, during this war, was saying that he wants Israel to be bloodied. He wants Israel to get a bloody nose. They'll be easier to negotiate with if they're bloodied. And this is coming from a Jew. Dayan did is he thinned out the troops in the Golan and on the Sinai along the Suez Canal. There were only 600 troops along the Suez Canal. If there were just 6,000, no Egyptian would have crossed it. There would have been a million dead Egyptians, and the war would have been over in a day. But Dayan thinned out the troops, and Kissinger allowed Jewish troops to be slaughtered. There were over 2,000 dead in just 2 days. And that, as I said, Kissinger and his Jewishness is a separate topic. The Jews have been infiltrated, and we'll do that another day. But the point is that Dayan had a bit of a conscience. And at the very last second, knowing a war was coming, he added 50 tanks to the Golan, and led by Colonel Mordechai Kalani, they did a pretty good job of holding the tide, but they didn't win. No matter what the history books tell you, the Syrians made it to the bridges on the Jordan River. The Syrians didn't cross the bridge. They could have been in Tiberias. They could have taken over the entire Galilee in the first 24 hours of the war. But they stopped because the deal with Kissinger that he cut with Dayan was that we will not have the Israelis preempt this war, but you don't go into pre-67 Israel. And the Syrians lived up to their part of the agreement and stopped dead at the bridges. And all they had to do was cross, and Israel was finished. The country would have been overrun. Now, what they told the Israelis, it's an amazing lie. And I've told this story 100 times at lectures in Israel. They said the Syrians outran their supply lines. Now, we're not talking about a grand army in Europe where the supply lines are 50 miles into the rear. It takes an hour to cross the Golan. If you're out of gas, a gas truck will be there in an hour. It's impossible to outrun your supply lines. It's not that kind of a war in Israel. But Israelis for the longest time believed it. Until I just mentioned that you can't outrun the supply lines. The excuse was a phony excuse. Now, just so you know, about this time, right after the war breaks out, the Arabs slap an oil embargo on the U.S. and Holland. And I don't know if you remember the gas lines in 73, but I remember fist fights breaking out for a gallon of gas. Suddenly, the United States was short of gasoline, as was Holland. The difference is, in Holland, they rode on bikes. They helped each other out. They pooled transportation. In America, they punched each other on gas lines. Now, this is essential because the price of oil before the Yom Kippur War was 30 cents. Now, today it's $118. We're talking about an era of cheap oil. It's a joke. 30 cents a barrel. Now, what happened by the end of the negotiations for the war until peace came, the price skyrocketed in those days from 30 cents to $2. And this resulted in the biggest west-to-east money transfer in history. I mean, the Arabs were getting a massive amount. Well, 30 cents to $2 is, you know, seven times what they were earning before. And so suddenly they had, I think in today's money it would have been trillions of dollars. But lo and behold, you start tracking the money. And the Arabs, of course, couldn't invest it in their own economies. It would have been lost. So they put it in a few London banks, but mostly New York banks. And the biggest of all their investment houses was Chase Manhattan, the Rockefeller family, and the CFR. Now, you would think that's the end of the story, but it gets worse. And this apparently was all planned. They had to lend the money out now. The banking houses, well, I suppose they could have put them in bank accounts or bought real estate and earned 5% a year. But no, they invested billions and billions of dollars in wacko engineering schemes, massive dams, the stupidest projects in the world. They could never have seen a profit, never. All through South America and to a lesser extent also in Africa, they actually reached the point that Argentina and Mexico both were bankrupt. They actually succeeded in getting these countries bankrupted. And it's not easy for a country to go bankrupt. But after the Yom Kippur War and the investments of Arab money, and never forget that, all through South America, the country started dropping like kingpins. And lo and behold, Mexico, Argentina, not to mention Bolivia, throughout South America, also Nigeria, Africa got hit, but not quite as bad. These countries were all owned by American banks. Their economies were actually sold to American banks. That's what the Yom Kippur War did. But there is more. This was an immensely important war. And now we have the story that Christian fundamentalists love to tell. It brings tears to their eyes. Unfortunately, it's a lie. The story goes like this. Kissinger wanted Israel bloodied, and Israel was going to go down. Kissinger was bringing Israel down. On the eighth day of the war, Syria have received massive airlifts from Moscow, paid for, by the way, this according to Rabbi Antelman, by Morgan Grenfell of the J.P. Morgan Company in London, gave Syria $3 billion to pay the Russians for these arms. Never forget that Morgan was one of the founders of the CFR as well, which Rabbi Antelman does mention in his To Eliminate the Opiate Part 2. Nonetheless, Israel was not getting arms, and it looked like Israel was running out of ammunition. And the story goes, forget the accounts by Simcha Dinitz, who was the Israeli ambassador to Washington, and the story that's told is a little different.
I'm going to have to interrupt you because I want the people to get the story, and we're going to run out of time. We'll be back in just a moment. What's the truth?
Through the years of providing water filters to America, you've come to us and we've listened. You asked us to make the water level visible to eliminate the guesswork when refilling the water. We listened. You asked for an elevated base so the system could be used in places beside on the edge of a counter. We listened. You asked us to develop a filter that was made in the USA. We listened. You asked us to include an emergency light for camping and during power outages. We listened. After 9/11, you asked us to develop a filter that was more powerful in removing chemical agents. Again, we listened. Introducing the Berkey Light, the gravity filter requested by America, designed by Americans, and made in America.
Get the Berkey Light, the American water purifier, only $279. Call New Millennium, 888-803-4438. That's 888-803-4438, or order on the web at berkeywater.com. Not yet available in Iowa.
The United States seems to be celebrating over its triumph of reducing government debt. But the truth be told, public and private debt increased to a record high in 1999, reaching a peak of $14.8 trillion, marking 10.57% annual increase, outpacing its previous 10 years. The U.S. economy receives its currency by taking on debt through private banking institution called the Federal Reserve System. In the year 2000, debt growth collapsed to only 4.5%. It's bad enough that the U.S. citizens is bound by debt in order to have commerce. However, shocking the economy with a reduction of this magnitude could wipe out years of growth in a stock portfolio. Before you make your next investment decision, get the cold hard facts. Call 1-800-686-2237 for your free report on the outstanding level of public and private debt. You must understand how recession and depression are driven by outstanding debt. Call 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
Hi, this is Brother Michael Diamond. You can now get the most important package ever on what has happened to the Catholic Church in the last 50 years. Find out how this massive crisis concerning the Catholic Church happened, what happened, and how the Bible predicted it would take place in the last days. The package contains 6 DVDs that contain 10 different programs, 2 books that combined are over 1,000 pages and other information. Order now at our website, mostholyfamilymonastery.com. That's mostholyfamilymonastery.com. The last word, monastery, is spelled M-O-N-A-S-T-E-R-Y. Or call us at 1-800-275-1126. That's 1-800-275-1126. Or mail in your order to us at 4425 Schneider Road, Fillmore, New York, 14735. The total cost for this massive package of information is only $10, $15 for UPS Ground, or $30 outside the U.S.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll-free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
here at the Genesis Communication Network, and our guest is Barry Shamish, and he's talking about what the real story was. It was 8 days into the war. Israel was running out of ammunition. Syria was, of course, being resupplied by the Russians, with thanks to the J.P. Morgan Company out of Great Britain. And Israel is facing the possibility, the very real possibility, they're going to lose the Yom Kippur War. This is 1973. So pick up the story there.
Well, the apocryphal story is that Golda Meir lifted the phone and phoned Nixon at 3 in the morning Washington time in tears, telling him, "Mr. President, only you can save the Jews." And the way that the fundamentalists have got this is that Nixon remembered something his dear saintly mother once told him, that someday he'll be in a position to save the Jews. I'll bet you she never said that to him. That's just making a myth out of nothing. But in fact, Nixon did override Kissinger, but there were conditions, and they were very serious conditions. Number one, and the one we're going to talk about, is that in exchange for ammunition and new arms, Golda Meir was ordered to resign as prime minister in favor of Kissinger and Nixon's favorite poodle, Yitzhak Rabin. Now remember, Rabin was ambassador to Washington. He quit just before the 72 election campaign and then went on the stump for Nixon. They had themselves a little puppy dog, and they wanted him to become prime minister. But in Israel, it was unheard of. Rabin was not a politician. He never sat in the Knesset. He was maybe, and I'm serious, about number 90 on the Labor Party list for prime minister. But they told her, "You want the arms, you appoint him your successor, one way or another." And she agreed to this. After the war, she appointed Rabin her minister of labor. Within a very brief time afterwards, she declared that he was the successor. She resigned, and Rabin took over as prime minister. All of this an impossibility, even as minister of labor. I mean, the man didn't sit in the Knesset. But now we get to a part of the story that I discovered through Menachem Begin's son, Benny Begin. I met him again with my partner at the time, Joel Bainerman, at the Knesset, and he told us a story that I think everyone should listen to seriously. There was a thing called shuttle diplomacy. Kissinger must have taken 100 trips between Damascus and Jerusalem to find a way to separate the troops. Now, they came up with a solution. The solution was Syria wanted the Golan. Rabin was in no position to just walk off the Golan Heights. It seemed impossible, but somebody, undoubtedly Kissinger, thought to himself, you know what? The Syrians want a greater Syria. They want Lebanon. Let's give them Lebanon instead of the Golan Heights. Now, just so you know, this deal was also sanctioned. They asked the permission of King Hussein of Jordan to start a civil war in Lebanon. And Hussein, who hated the PLO, agreed. This was on the radio. I heard it once, never heard it again. This was how the civil war of Lebanon, which in a way is still under the surface of the country, this is how the Syrians took over Lebanon. The civil war was started by CIA. They blew up a bus full of Christian children, 32 dead. This exploded the civil war in Lebanon, and the Syrians came in as peacemakers. Their whole army shifted from the Golan to Lebanon. Now, what Rabin did was he had red lines. He told the Syrians not to go below the Litani, and he told them not to go below Sidon, and in the end they just took over Lebanon, and the world applauded the peacemakers. Now, what Benny Bacon told us is Rabin told him this story of how the Yom Kippur War led to the Lebanon War, and he was smiling. That's what Benny Bacon told us. And he says, I said to Rabin, what are you smiling about? There were 250,000 dead in the Lebanon War. It sounds ghastly what you did. And Rabin chuckled and said, it was a good deal for us. This is one of the big secrets that the Lebanon War of 1975 and the Syrian takeover of Lebanon was a direct result of the Yom Kippur War.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Now you can bring Berkey purification power anywhere with the Sport Berkey filtration bottle. Ideal for sporting games, camping or boating, or Sport Berkey is small enough to store in your glove box, so it's ideal backup for unexpected emergencies like blackouts, floods, or earthquakes. It's simply the best personal water filtration system available. So effective you can drink raw, untreated water from lakes, rivers, and streams. Unlike other sport bottles, the Sport Berkey's patented filter formulation is so powerful it removes cysts, parasites, harmful bacteria, and chemicals like herbicides and pesticides. It even reduces radon-222, lead, and other heavy metals. This lightweight, rugged 22-ounce filter is small enough to go everywhere, so take one to work and keep another in your glove box for emergencies. Get the Berkey Sport for only $39. Get two for $70 by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. Order your Berkey Sport today. That's toll-free, 888-803-4438, or order on the web at berkeywater.com.
It's a fact. Since the creation of the Federal Reserve in 1913, all banks in these United States create money out of thin air for every single loan they issue. With never-ending late fees, over-the-limit fees, and higher interest rates, it has become mathematically impossible to repay all debt, making all of us slaves to our creditors. The Federal Debt Relief System has created a successful attorney-backed program to legally eliminate credit card debt, personal loans, lines of credit, and other unsecured debts which have been fraudulently created by the banks. We can terminate your unsecured debt within 18 months with a much lower monthly payment, ending with nothing on your credit report. Join the thousands of Americans who now breathe with a sigh of relief because they have legally eliminated their debt. Instead of living each day in fear and frustration, it's time to take action and turn your life around. Call the Federal Debt Relief System at 877-943-8600. That's 877-943-8600. Or visit FDRS.org. Find out how you can break the cycle of debt slavery. Visit FDRS.org today. Since the year 2000, earthquakes, heat waves, droughts, tsunamis, floods, fires, and hurricanes have killed over 1 million people worldwide and forced tens of millions to go without food and water. After Katrina, the media was eager to show victims in New Orleans begging for food. If a disaster strikes you and your loved ones and you have no stored food, you'll be begging as well. Now our economy is slipping into an abyss that even Donald Trump says will make the Great Depression look like a Sunday picnic. The U.S. dollar is worth less today than it was even last week. Before food prices skyrocket, trucks stop running, and stores close their doors, Survival Enterprises can help you prepare. They're master distributors of Mountain House freeze-dried food with up to a 50-year shelf life. Survival Enterprises has real butter, cheese, and bread, real beef, chicken, and turkey, all canned for long-term storage. For their website and more info, call 1-800-753-1981. That's 1-800-753-1981. And remember, if you wait until you need us, it's too late. Call now.
Dan back here at the Genesis Network, and certainly with us is Barry Shamish. But before we go on with this story, why I want Barry to tell you how you can get in touch with his ministry, how you can get in touch with him, and how, of course, you can obtain his books. Go ahead, Barry.
Well, I don't have a ministry, but you can get my books at lulu.com, www.lulu.com. In the right-hand corner, there's a box that says search, right in my name, C-H-A-M-I-S-H. And the Yom Kippur War story is found throughout my books. Choose the one you like. The website, you can now do it, www.barrychamish.com. We now own that name after endless trouble previously. And I have DVDs. The latest one is called Take Back Israel. We're using this knowledge. I suggest practical ways that Israel can be saved from the vicious leadership ruling that country. And here's my phone number. You can't get this on Lulu. You got to get it through me. It's 904-501-7605. That's 904-501-7605. And now more on the Lebanon War and Kissinger. It was because of the Lebanon War that the great peacemakers arose. Rabin, we've spoken about how Kissinger made him prime minister. The other two are, we've already spoken about Moshe Dayan, and we'll finish with Sharon. Let's go back to Dayan briefly. It's now 1977, and Begin wins the prime minister's post. He beats Peres, actually. Rabin had been felled with a little bit of an embezzlement problem. And, well, lo and behold, he isn't in power for a week before Begin is forced by Jimmy Carter of the Council on Foreign Relations, who is just a notorious Jew hater. Vicious. He's been visiting the leaders of Hamas and Hezbollah in Damascus this week, and his government was all trilateral commissioned. Now, they forced Begin to become the foreign minister, to appoint Moshe Dayan as foreign minister of his government. Now, I remember I was just a university student, and I didn't know an awful lot. But I was with a small group of people, and I said, it's not a bad decision. Begin's a newcomer, and Dayan's reputation will give Israel more sway. And I was interrupted by a student who said, you weren't here during the Yom Kippur War. He led 3,000 of our men to their deaths. We don't want him as foreign minister. What's he doing in the government? It's simply not done to put a loser back in the government, and I was just hushed up. But I found out, and I had an excellent source for this, what Dayan was doing as foreign minister. Now, in 1979, Sadat came to Israel. Now, we don't, at least I don't know, how exactly that was done. I believe it was certainly not a unilateral decision by Sadat. It was an order that came from higher than Sadat. But what happened is Sadat was promised all of the Sinai down to the last inch, and they said, we have a man in Begin's government. And that man was, who else? Moshe Dayan. Now, I got also Ezra Weitzman, but we don't have the time right now. These were Begin's chief aides to Carter's Trilateral Commission. Well, the Trilateral Commission was Zbigniew Brzezinski, Walter Mondale, and Cyrus Vance. They were going to decide Israel's future. Now, I met Yossi Orr at his office, and he told me what happened at Camp David at the negotiations, and he knew Weizmann and Dayan. He's an old insider. He was one of the co-inventors of the Uzi machine gun, and he's still alive. He's got to be in his 80s, late 80s, 80s, but I still see him writing occasionally. And he sat me down, and he said, look, I got the strategy, how it was done. How they got Begin to abandon his lifelong philosophy. It worked that Dayan and Weizmann agreed with every position of Carter's team. And by the way, I'm going to say it again, everyone on Carter's team, including Carter, was from the Council on Foreign Relations. Brzezinski, Vance, and Mondale, go get your list. You'll find them all in the Council on Foreign Relations. They ganged up on Begin, and he said, worse than that, that was a psychological warfare. It was well planned in advance, but they drugged Bacon's coffee. They made him so thoroughly confused and so isolated that he agreed to these far-reaching, disastrous. It wasn't a negotiation. Israel gave back everything and got back nothing. And, of course, that treaty has been thoroughly abrogated by the Egyptians, who are supplying Hamas through the Sinai Peninsula with all the weaponry they want. In theory, we should be at war with Egypt, and we should be putting an end to this. But Begin sold out Israel against his better nature. Now, we come to Sharon. Sharon didn't just throw the Jews out of Gush Katif or Gaza. In 1980, he threw them out of Yamit, the biggest town in the Sinai. He bulldozed the town just like he did Gush Katif. He knocked down every building and turned it into a desert. This is what Sharon is good for. Now, we return quickly because how much time do we have?
Well, we've got about 10 minutes.
All right, I can do it then. Sharon, we return now to Benny Bacon. Now, Benny Bacon is a very coy man who lost his son to a so-called accident and quit the Knesset. It was no accident. We won't go through that, but he said to Joel, he says, nobody knows Sharon. He said, nobody understands who Sharon is. He said, Sharon was raised in a kibbutz, Far Malal. He says his best friends are from the far left, including Shimon Peres. He said it's a complete fiasco that the Israeli public believes he's from the right. He isn't. And then I found out indirectly through a couple of sources, the best one being Sharon's own spokesman, Ranan Gissin. It's a long story. Joel was in New York. He sees Kissinger and Sharon at an economic conference in the Sheraton Hotel, and they go into a room and have a private meeting, and he phones me up, and he says, find out what's going on. What's he doing with Kissinger? So I phoned up Ranan Gissin in the morning, and I said to him, what is Sharon doing with Henry Kissinger? Why did they have a private meeting? And Gissin first answers me that the minister, he called him, he was the minister of infrastructure, and that means sewers and roads. He said the minister and Mr. Kissinger were discussing peace in the Middle East. And I said, who told him to do that? He's the minister of infrastructure. He has no authority to discuss peace with anybody. He can discuss sewers if he wants, but not peace. And Ranan Gissin becomes very defensive, and he says, you're right, they were discussing roads. And I said, come on, Mr. Gissin, why was he meeting Kissinger? And then he says that the minister, always called him minister, said the minister has met with Kissinger on every trip to the United States since January of 1974. And I said, what for? And he said, because they're good friends. I said, I doubt it. I don't think they're good friends. Why is he meeting Kissinger on every trip to New York? Here's the story of Kissinger and Sharon. Kissinger put Sharon in power because Sharon was the only general who was not besmirched by the Yom Kippur War. He was the hero of the Yom Kippur War. He went against the grain and fought the defense establishment, fought Dayan, and he crossed over the Suez Canal, and he surrounded the Third Army, surrounded the Second Army 90%. He left an escape corridor for the Second Army, surrounded the Third Army. He had 500,000 Egyptian soldiers who could have been killed the next day. They couldn't escape, and by the way, a few thousand of them tried and died for it. So Sharon was a hero in Israel. He was also, by the way, a reserve general. He was not in the Army. He had quit the Army earlier in 1973 to form a political party. It was called Slum Sion. It was a far left-wing party. Amongst the deputies he asked to join the party included famous leftists like Yossi Sarid and Lipkin Shachak and Amnon Lipkin Shachak. Kissinger said, from here on in, you're going to be a right-winger. Said, you have now abandoned the establishment of Israel because of the war. You are going to represent the right. And he said, you're going to take your little party and you're going to join it with Menachem Begin's party, Chayrut. And over time, you're going to destroy the Israeli right-wing opposition. And that's exactly what Sharon did. And thanks to Mr. Gissen, as well as other sources, we know that Sharon was put in power from Kissinger via the CFR. Sharon united his party with Begin's Kairut party and a third party, Yitzhak Mordechai's Gachal, the liberal party, created the Likud. The Likud was a creation by the far leftist Ariel Sharon to destroy the Israeli right, and he has done one heck of a job. There's no more Chayrut. There's no Chayrut members of the Knesset anymore. What the Yom Kippur War did was place in Israel a new generation of leaders who were going to wreck the country. Now, Sharon ruined Menachem Begin. And we won't go through the next war. We're going to stick with this war. But Sharon, piece by piece, destroyed Menachem Begin, destroyed the Israeli right. Moshe Dayan, well, what can you say? He laid the groundwork for the Camp David Agreement, which literally cost Israel its defensive posture in the Sinai, of course. Allowing the Egyptians to funnel all the arms Hamas could possibly want, and Rabin signed the Oslo Accord. All of this happened because of the Yom Kippur War. Now, as for Kissinger, there is no describing, really, mean isn't the word to describe to someone who kills 3,000 of his own people in order to bloody Israel. 2,000 in the first 2 days, thanks to Moshe Dayan, you're talking about Jews who are fighting Jews, and a lot of Jews died because of Kissinger and Dayan. Okay, that's the core story I have to tell, and there are many details. If you want to ask me about them, I'll be glad to add them.
All right, fine. And of course, this is all covered in many of your books, going into the background there. Well, anyway, of course, I think that you know, it's so important that people understand that Israel did win the Yom Kippur War because of Sharon, and Sharon, of course, went against the Moshe Dayan. He crossed the Suez, and actually, they were almost down to Cairo. They were just
If they had wanted to, the Israeli army could have walked into Cairo.
Right. But, of course, they weren't allowed to. They were demanded immediately, you know, to pull back. And but, of course, had the Arabs been able to take Israel, believe me, there'd been no pressure to force them to pull back. So, anyway, of course, the war ends. And then, of course, Sharon is the great hero. And, of course, then he becomes one of the leaders of the country. Go ahead.
Look, it all started, this war all started because the Bilderbergers had a magnificent financial plan to get an enormous amount of money put into their banks. The Arabs were told that Israel was taken care of, that this time round they have a real chance to win. They can get their land back from the 67 war. They played ball, they got the money from their oil embargo, and they immediately invested in Chase Manhattan, Citicorp, in all the establishment banks, made these people very rich, and then this money was used in South America to make major nations. Argentina should be one of the richest countries in the world. It's got the land, the resources. It ended up bankrupted and owned by American banks. The same with Mexico. Bolivia came very, very close. This was the Yom Kippur War. It was a far, far more important war than people understand. It's the war that has changed this planet to this day. And it's the war, of course, that started the Lebanon War, which has just mucked up the Middle East, destroyed the only Christian country in the Middle East. It's now run by the Syrians, and it destroyed Israel by putting the so-called peacemakers, Dayan, Rabin, and Sharon, two of whom became prime minister, to push the god-awful Oslo Accord down the throats of the Israeli people. All of this came out of the Yom Kippur War.
And I think it's so important that the Yom Kippur War then, because America came to Israel's aid, they feigned that, well, the Arabs now are going to put an oil embargo on the United States. It was all showbiz. It was all decided ahead of time. And, of course, out of the oil embargo came the rising price of gasoline. And certainly we were in our long line. But it was all engineered not from Riyadh in Saudi Arabia and not from Jerusalem. It was actually engineered right in Washington, D.C. and in New York City, where the Council on Foreign Relations meets. And then, of course, as a direct result of this, of course, America gets massive amounts of money from the Arab countries. We invested in South America, and, of course, we bankrupt those countries. They get tremendously in debt. They borrow all this money. It's easy to get, and then, of course, whenever you borrow money, you have to pay it back. And, of course, we then, of course, begin the dominant force of providing money for the whole world, and, of course, really destroyed the infrastructure of nations in South America and Africa. We're out of time. God bless you. Thanks very much, Barry. We'll look forward to talking to you real soon again.
Great.
Do you know where the 78 potentially active volcanoes in U.S. are located? And do you know the locations of the top 300 prime terrorist targets? You can find these answers and more in the new interactive CD book, Prudent Places USA. With the more than 50 interactive parameters, you can pinpoint natural and man-made disaster areas, brewing environmental catastrophes, the safest cities, the best places for solar and wind energy, and much, much more. Complete with 3 gigabytes of detailed information on each of 3,000 plus counties in the U.S., including 550 high-resolution full-color maps and full-color photographs, as well as detailed information and analysis to help you zero in on the best places to live, the ideal location for cabins and vacation homes, as well as safe and unsafe areas. Get Prudent Places USA for only $29 plus shipping by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. That's 888-803-4438 to order on the web or at BerkeyWater.com.
Have you made preparations to look after yourself and your family in case there's a national emergency or a terrorist attack? Well, I want to tell you that the government's looking after their people. In fact, plans have been made to protect people of high-ranking position in government, but they're not making any preparations for the average individual, so you're going to have to look after yourself. If you'd like information on long-term food storage, if you'd like information on the other items you would need in case of a national emergency, why don't you give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927 and ask for the emergency food catalog. We'll get it right off to you and we'll get the items shipped directly from Ready Reserve Foods. That's 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. You're going to have to begin making preparations to look after yourself.
Do you need more than just the constant news of impending tyranny? Yes, this is Elizabeth Border, back with The Divided Kingdom, the hour that analyzes spiritual and cultural issues, too. Lou Blanchard and I are delighted, thanks in large part to past listeners' lobbying efforts. Now, to be on the great Genesis Communications Network Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. Central, formidable Alex Jones says, this is the network often imitated but never duplicated. Lou and I made the conscious decision to move to GCN because of its classy lineup and leadership. We invite you to hear our program, one we pray will strengthen and bless you. Indeed, trouble is part of the story. But the fellowship of faith surpasses it. Tune in at 6 p.m. Central with the Divided Kingdom.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at the Genesis Communication Network. And first, this is the time when I need to remind our listeners that Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported, and we've got almost 60 outlets every single week. There's some of them are shortwave, internet, satellite, and then the radio stations you have time on. And if you'd be interested, of course, in joining the Radio Liberty family and helping us, why, we'd love to hear from you. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. And then, of course, we hope many of you out there will want to get and understand the spiritual nature of what's going on. And that's where, of course, you need to read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. You need to, of course, get the talk on the forbidden secret. Comes with a syllabus. We recommend that. That's the forbidden secret with the syllabus. You need to get our new DVD on the planned police state. Comes with a very important syllabus. You need to get our talk, a DVD on Iraq, The Untold Story, or War, The Untold Story. They're both basically the same. Perhaps the second one really is much more dramatic, a little production in there, but it's the same story, but comes with an excellent syllabus. And then we'll explain to you that all of the wars of the last century were simply nonsensical. There was no reason for any of them. But, of course, most Americans really don't understand that. They don't understand that there was no Gulf of Tonkin incident. We went into Vietnam because we needed a distraction to take the attention of the American people away from the fact we were moving towards everything, all power going to Washington, D.C., but you needed a distraction. And the Vietnam War was a wonderful distraction, a war we never tried to win. In fact, had we not been funding, the Russians were funding the North Vietnamese, were funding the Viet Cong, or were killing our boys, the war never would have lasted 10 years. You mean to tell me that the mightiest nation in the world, with the greatest military in the world, couldn't fight a country that, or couldn't defeat a country the size of the state of Mississippi, and after 10 long, bloody years? Of course we could have defeated them. It was just we weren't allowed to try. And, of course, our boys fought valiantly, but they were doomed to failure because our leaders betrayed them. That's just what it was all about. It's just like another no-win war. We fought in Korea. It's the no-win war. We fought at the Bay of Pigs. It's the no-win war we're fighting in Iraq today. And that's worse why our talk on Iraq, The Untold Story, is so vitally important. You need to know the history of the past wars. And then, of course, we have the hidden agenda, how they're poisoning our children, how they're poisoning us with water fluoridation. Why are so many men having erectile dysfunction? Why, very simply, because we've lowered their testosterone levels by fluoridating their water. Why are so many people having heart attacks? Because those communities where they have water fluoridation, the incidence of heart attack doubles. They know all of these things. Well, then why do the doctors and the dentists push it? Because they don't know the truth. They're being controlled by their organizations, which are part of the establishment that's intent upon poisoning the American people. You need to get our material on mercury. We have 2 4-tape sets on mercury. We have a 4-tape set on autism. We have a number of DVDs on mercury. We have the book going into the background of the mercury problem there, Evidence of Harm. It's an excellent book. And then, of course, we have material on aspartame, how they're poisoning our people. Well, why do we have so much pathological obesity? Because NutraSweet aspartame, MSG, produces pathological obesity and all the complications that go with that. It produces brain tumors. It produces other types of tumors. It upsets the endocrine system. It creates infertility. All of these things are well known, but, of course, they don't want you to know that. Why is it we have so much cancer in America today? Back in the early part of the last century, 1 in 33 people got cancer. Today it's 1 in 2. And believe me, that's not happening by accident. And the government says, oh, we know it's happening. Oh, shucks, we have no idea why. There are people there who do know why. And, of course, it's all about population control. You need to get my talk on Nundare College genocide, on population control. You get any of these items, we'll be glad to send you the population control agenda monograph. Pray for America. Our number 1-800-544-8927.
Hello, folks. Alex Jones here, introducing Prudent Places USA, an interactive